Hebrews chapter 3, I want you to look again. And in this chapter, notice how the Holy Spirit uses Moses' faithfulness as a steward to contrast the greater faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ as a son. Verse 1 says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house." Now, of course, the book of Hebrews was written in large part to Jewish believers in the first century who had so much respect for Moses that they had elevated his status to almost that of the Lord Jesus himself. And so, as a comparison and a contrast, the scripture points out that Moses was indeed faithful as a steward over the tabernacle. Look at verse 5. "And Moses verily was faithful in all his house, as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after." Well, we just studied the tabernacle on Wednesday night, and it is a testimony. It has been a testimony of what is in heaven and what is to come. The difference is, the Lord Jesus isn't just a steward in the house, but as the Son, he actually owns and he built the house. Verse 3, "For this man," of course it's Jesus according to verse 1, "for this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house." Inasmuch as Jesus, who is the builder of the house, has more honor than those who serve in the house. Verse 4, "For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God." You say, "Pastor, that verse says that Jesus is God the Creator." Well, yeah, just like the rest of the Bible does. You know, our text on Wednesday night was John 1:1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. In the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And yes, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." But John 1:3 says, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." The whole Bible teaches that Jesus is God. For this morning, however, I want us to consider the often overlooked truth of Moses' faithfulness. No, he is not the owner, he is not the builder of creation, and neither are we. No, he is not the only begotten of God, and neither are we. However, Moses was a servant, and Moses was a steward of the things of God, and so are we. All of us here are, as Moses was, a steward of things that belong to God. Verse 5 again, "And Moses verily, truly was faithful in all his house as a servant." Now, wait a minute. Think about that statement for a moment. Because the Bible says that Moses was a faithful steward in all his house. You see the last line of verse 2? As also Moses was faithful in all his house. Also, yes, it means Jesus was faithful, Moses was also faithful. Wow. In other words, just because some people over-elevated Moses' example doesn't mean that we're supposed to ignore or in any way minimize his incredible example. On the contrary, we're supposed to highlight his example. You know, in this very same book, by this very same writer, it is Moses who's given more verses than anyone else in Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith. By faith, Moses. And what is it? What is it exactly that Moses was faithful with that would cause him to be mentioned with the Lord Jesus himself? To be held up as that kind of an example. Well, that's what I want us to consider this morning as we speak on the subject. It's not who you are or what you have, it's what you do with what you have. Okay, that's way too long. I could do an acronym with that, you know, INWYAD, but it would be Anawadawadawadi or whatever. Or I could do a smaller acronym and say Moses is the GOAT, the greatest of all time. But he's not the greatest of all time, so I could say he's the SIGOAT, second greatest of all time. Or I could say he's the almost greatest, a GOAT, almost the greatest of all time. Or the GLOAT, he's the greatest leader of all time. Or I could stop wasting time on the title and just say, we're going to speak on a lesson of faithfulness. and quite possibly the second greatest lesson of faithfulness of all time. Let's pray. Father, please help us. And again, we thank you for this opportunity. And Lord, you have made us stewards of the mysteries of God. You have made us stewards in your household. And I just ask, dear Lord, that you'll remind us all again in this room what that really means for us. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. For those of you who have a margin in your Bible, a cross reference, you'll notice off to the side that next to verse 3 of your text, there's a cross reference to the 12th chapter of the book of Numbers. And that chapter, of course, is the Old Testament reference which the Holy Spirit points to here in life of Moses. And by the way, if you're wondering, I said the Holy Spirit points to, if you're wondering why we always say the Holy Spirit says, just look at verse 7, for example, would you? Wherefore, he says, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, that's a quotation of Psalm 95, a psalm of David. It sure is, but it is also the word of God, not the word of David. And what does the word of God say about the faithfulness of Moses? And again, there's a cross reference there, and you're going to see it up on your screen. It's Numbers chapter 12, and here's what it says in verse 7. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. Wow. Guess who just bragged on Moses there? Well, God did. God says, hey, my servant Moses is faithful in all of my house. And why? Why did God step in and defend the faithfulness of Moses? Here's what it says in context before we go back to Hebrews. Chapter 12, verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron, that's his sister and brother, spake against Moses because the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Now, if you're going to criticize someone, who better to murmur about than somebody else's wife who's, you know, not like us, and more, even more especially, the preacher's wife, that woman's an Ethiopian. Shh. Look at verse 2 on your screen. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? And hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. You know, the Lord always hears our murmurings. When we criticize someone or talk bad about them behind their back, and when we whisper, you can't whisper low enough where God doesn't hear it. And then it says, verse 3, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. You notice that's in parentheses? That little parenthetical is given to remind us that it's not as if Moses was a tyrant. It is not as if Moses was ambitious and so he deserved all of this criticism for being the only spokesman for God. No. God stipulates that he was the meekest man on the face of the earth. He did not earn this criticism. Notice verse 4. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out, ye three, into the tabernacle of the congregation. And the three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood at the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. You know, I've been called to the principal's office, but never like this. Come here. Verse 6, and he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision. And I will speak unto him in a dream. In other words, God is telling the gripers, they don't have to worry, that if he's going to speak to his people, he will do it. He will do it to prophets and priests of his choice. God didn't need Miriam. God didn't need Aaron to fix this situation. They will hear indirectly through a prophet. However, he says, note this. When it comes to Moses, God says, I'm not going to speak secondhand. Nope, I'm not going to use a prophet. I'm not going to use a dream. In this case, his case, specifically, I will speak face to face, from my mouth to his mouth, openly, personally, and clearly. And why? Why do you suppose it is that God will go directly to Moses? You know, Exodus 33:11 says, the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. Why Moses? We all know that it wasn't because Moses was perfect. He was far from perfect. In fact, the Bible says twice, quote, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Hey, bad news, folks. You're not perfect. Good news, neither was Moses. Bad news, you're going to mess up. Good news, so did Moses. And yet God still spake to him face to face as you speak to your friend. So you see, it wasn't because Moses was perfect, and obviously it wasn't because Moses was eloquent. It wasn't because he was amazing at relaying the words of God to the people. On the contrary, the Bible says that he was speech impaired. Moses asked someone else. His brother Aaron came in and was apparently a better speaker. And so what is it? What is it about Moses, in God's own estimation, that made him stand out from all of the rest? Not eloquence, he stammered. Not charisma, he was the meekest man. Not perfection, he was excluded from getting to go to the promised land, Canaan. Not fearlessness, he was often afraid. The singular thing about Moses that God himself puts in the text is precisely what the Holy Spirit of God will reveal thousands of years later in the New Testament. Again, it's Numbers 12 and verse 7. My servant Moses is not so. He's not like that who is faithful in all mine house. Now, wait a minute. God is using a familiar picture here to the nation of Israel, and he does so again in Hebrews and in Corinthians. And that picture is of a steward. And that steward has a household that he is over. It's not the steward's house. He doesn't own it. It is God's house, and specifically, it is God's household. And again, the Lord Jesus and Paul, the Hebrew writer, referring to this text when teaching about believers as stewards. Matthew 24, Jesus said, "Who then is the faithful and wise steward whom his Lord will set over his household?" Our text here in chapter 3 and verse 5, Moses was verily faithful in all his house. And of course, it was Paul who wrote in 1 Corinthians 4, "Let a man account of us as stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found" what? What's the word? Faithful. What is the one word common to all of these texts, including the words of Jesus in that final exam in Matthew 25? "Well done, thou good and," say it, "faithful servant." Faithful. Not talented. In other words, all of us here, as believers, as Christians, right now, if you're saved, you are a steward. A steward is someone in a household, hired, employed, if you will, to oversee and manage and care for the resources and the affairs of that house. You might say he is a trustee, and thus he is trusted. We quoted 1 Corinthians 4:2. And the Greek word Paul used there is oikonomos, which simply means, it comes with two words that are combined together, house and law. And in the land of Israel in the Near East, the house servant, this steward, was a lot more than some sort of slave. He was in the main position who managed the household under the direct supervision of the owner of that house. In other words, now follow this. He had a certain authority. He had a certain power given to him. And in that position, he carried a tremendous amount of responsibility and thus trust from the homeowner, so that a steward had the ability to do the householder much good or much evil and much harm. Moses, not because of riches or eloquence or charm or any kind of perfection. Moses is highlighted by the Father and by the Son and by the Holy Spirit and by the writer of Hebrews and by the Apostle Paul, who wrote the book of Hebrews in our opinion, because he did the one thing that God values the most in a steward. Moses was faithful. Moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. Now here's the question for you and me. Faithful in what? And faithful with what? If the Lord Jesus Christ, the householder, has committed certain things into your hands, into your trust as a steward, And if the most important calling we have as stewards is to be faithful with those things, what are they? What belongs to God, but He has actually entrusted to us? Well, folks, the first thing you're going to notice is something that many of you are holding in your hands right now. And that is the Word of God itself. Notice chapter 3, verse 1. He says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling." Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you know what a partaker is? Do you know what the word partaker means? Partaker, to take part. It means to receive. And thus, it means to share and possess something that has been given to you. In Hebrews chapter 6, it says that believers are partakers of the Holy Spirit of God. Imagine that. We are partakers of the Holy Ghost. Here, we are partakers of the heavenly calling. Look down at verse 14 of this same chapter. "For we are made partakers of Christ." Whoa, partakers of Jesus. Partakers of the Word of God. Partakers of the heavenly calling. Partakers of the Holy Spirit. That's all of you in this room, every single one of you who's a believer in Christ. And I'll remind you, verse 7, we noted that the Holy Spirit wrote Psalm 95, not David. You go down and you'll see also in verse 12, it says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Unbelief in what? Unbelief in the Word of God. Now look at chapter 4, would you? Notice what it says in verse 7 of chapter 4. "Again, he limiteth or designed a certain day, saying in David." Hold it. Stop for a minute. This is Psalm again, 95. The Holy Spirit says in David. Who wrote the Bible? God wrote the Bible. He used men. He used David. Look at what it says. "And he limited a certain day, saying, in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, if you hear a voice, harden not your heart." Again, that's Psalm 95. But yes, it's in David, but it's God speaking. And so what does it say in verse 12 of the same chapter? "For the word of God is quick." That means living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In other words, note this, you and I don't just have a Bible. No, but we are partakers. We have been entrusted with this two-edged sword. God has given you a weapon, the most powerful weapon in the universe. Because it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the very heart of man. And we are thus stewards of this book. Paul said, "Account of us as stewards of the mysteries of God." So that, note this, unlike billions of people on this planet right now, you have truth, you have revelation, you have light, you have the scriptures, you have divine wisdom. And you know why? Because God, in His mercy and His grace, gave it to you. He gave it to you. It is not your wisdom. It is not your law. It is not your truth, your light. It is His, and it's just been entrusted to you as a steward. And how are we to be faithful to it? Well, you start by hearing it, by reading it, by trusting it, by sharing it. That's what God wants you to do with it. When Thomas Jefferson finished writing the Declaration of Independence, and with all of that calligraphy and that wet ink, and then he handed it over, he took that scroll and he handed it over to the Second Continental Congress. Can I ask you a question? What if they didn't read it? Whatever. What if they didn't put their 56 signatures to it? What if they started reading, you know, "When in the course of human events"? Oh, it's so boring. We can't understand this. What if they rolled it up and wrote their own? They might as well have placed our founding document, the Declaration of Independence, in a paper shredder. And of course, if you have no Declaration of Independence, there's no United States of America, there's no Liberty Bell, and quite literally no freedom like the world has known for over 250 years. So you see, John Penn, and William Hooper and Benjamin Harrison and John Adams and John Hancock, they were stewards. They were stewards. They were given that document. And you are a steward of this. The difference is this one is eternal. And this one's living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. How are you doing as a steward of this book? Are you reading it? Or are you like, when in the court, what's on TV? Are you faithful to it? Do you tell others about it? Do you come and learn from it? That's number one. The second thing you'll notice is that we are stewards of God's treasure. God's treasure. Where's Daniel Stentz? Are you over there? Come here, Daniel. Okay, I'm going to call him up. He's in my Sunday school class. I love this guy. Daniel, I noticed in the... Come on up here next to me, brother. You know what? I'm going to give you a mic. Hold that. I noticed in the bulletin today it's his birthday. How old are you today? 16. Sweet 16. That's cute. Daniel, I have a $50 bill. You like that, huh? Yeah. It's a grant. It's his birthday. I want to give you this, Daniel. What's your favorite hobby?
Probably playing trumpet.
Playing trumpet? What's your second favorite hobby? Second favorite?
Playing video games, I don't know.
Playing video? Oh, okay. You can buy a video game with this. All right, here's what I'm going to say to you, Daniel. You still fly? Airplane? All right. So I don't know what the cost of Jet A is these days. His dad's a mechanic. Your sister flies? Who's a better pilot?
Let's just say her.
Oh, that's pretty good. He's lying, but that's pretty good. I want to give you this $50 bill. And I'm going to tell you, Daniel, you can, like any other bill, you can use it any way you want. You can go out and buy a video game. You can buy your sister, who's a better pilot, a video game. You can take your parents to Seminole Inn this afternoon and buy part of the buffet. You can get a mani-pedi. But here's the thing. It's yours.
Thank you.
The thing is, you can spend it any way you want, but you can only spend it once. You can only spend it once. Happy birthday. Be seated. Thank you, buddy. And here's the thing, beloved. The same thing is true. The exact same thing is true. With whatever treasures and resources of God's blessings that you've received, you only have one life. You have been given so many years in this life, and you really know how many they are. You've been given that life to spend, to invest, or neglect, or waste. Produce with whatever it is God gives you. And once again, the only thing that God really requires of you is just be faithful with it. Isn't that amazing? Just be faithful with the resources God has given you. That 50 in Daniel's hand is just a symbol. It is a reminder that everything that God has given him and everything that God has given us belongs to him. And he has given us richly all things to enjoy. Yes, he wants you to enjoy it, but he wants you to be faithful with it. The man in our text, Moses, was a prince, literally. Wealth, power, resources were his in the greatest kingdom on the face of the earth at that time, the world kingdom. He was a warrior, an engineer. He was a pharaoh in waiting. But eventually, God took it all away. And how did Moses respond? He was faithful. God exchanged that prince's scepter with a shepherd's staff. And you know what Moses did with that staff? He was faithful. So here's the thing, folks. It doesn't matter if God puts a gold scepter in your hand or a wooden stick in your hand. It's still his. He put it in your hand. And you know what? All he asks of you is to be faithful with it. Because it belongs to him. Which brings me to the final thing. We are stewards of his truth, of his treasure, number three, of his talents. Of his talents. You know, this past week, Several of you have sent me videos of Olympic champions. And in particular, you sent me testimonies, quotes, Christians who've won medals, and in their interview they gave God praise and glory for what they have and what they've accomplished. When Randy Gradishar, great, great player for the Orange Crush, the Denver Broncos back in my day, when he gave his Hall of Fame speech a few days ago, he started telling how his teammate at Ohio State, Archie Griffin, invited him to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. 22 years of age, he went, he attended, and he got saved. This young football player with so much talent, so much ability. He was so good at what he did and so dedicated that he made the Pro Football Hall of Fame one of the hardest things to achieve in life. But I listened to his speech. And in his speech a few days ago, he gave a clear, crystal clear presentation of the gospel of Christ, practically the Romans Road. And in addition to that, he gave God all of the glory. Can you even imagine a player from Ohio State giving God glory? Their fans don't even give God glory. I'm just kidding. I'm not blessed with the physical abilities, obviously, of any Hall of Famer of any sport. I got the Duffy's Hall of Fame for eating once, the black card. And I definitely don't have the talents and the abilities of Olympians or top 40 musicians. But I'm still blessed. And so are you. Everybody in this country is blessed, and everyone in this room is blessed in ways that millions upon millions of people in the world are not. And that is awesome. Unless you've forgotten that you were given those blessings and that you are to be a faithful steward. There is nothing awesome. Zero. There is nothing special or unique about a human with any ability who doesn't recognize that ability as a gift of God. When I hear these famous musicians and rap artists, and they go up and they get their awards and they say, I got my start in church, and everybody thinks that's cute, I don't think it's cute. That they abandoned God and abandoned Jesus and went out and made all their money, it's not cute at all that they got their start in church. I like it when somebody gets their finish in church. I'll put it this way. You are not more gifted. Young people, hear this. You are not more gifted than Isaac Newton, but he knew his gifts were from God. You are not more gifted or talented than Bach or Mozart or Handel, and they all pointed to God. You are not more talented as G.K. Chesterton or Kipling or John Bunyan, and they all confess that they were nothing without God. Well, Pastor, that's not my problem. I know I'm not talented. Well, Andy, I'm just kidding. You know, the Bible says Moses was the meekest man in all the earth. He had no great speaking ability, but he became the greatest leader of all time, the gloat, because he was faithful with what he did have. At one point when God stripped him of everything, and Moses said, Lord, what am I going to do? I've been on the backside of this desert for 40 years. And God said to Moses, what's in your hand? He goes, this? This piece of wood from a desert acacia? And God says, yeah, I'm going to do great things with that piece of wood. So long as you obey my voice and are a faithful steward. And he did become the greatest leader of all time because he was faithful with what he did have. Not have I gotten, not what I reached out and got, but what I received. Grace hath bestowed it since I have believed. Boasting excluded. Pride I abase. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. You know who wrote those words? James Martin Gray. 2 earned doctorates, college president, great writer, publisher, one of the editors of the Bible Notes. He was an eminent, eminent scholar. But his favorite preacher that he knew was D.L. Moody, who had a fifth grade education. And he wrote the words, "Not have I gotten, but what I received." When I look out this auditorium and I see the Woosers and I see Brother and Mrs. Cooley back there, 50 years of ministry, I think to myself, you know what, I would a million times rather be Brother Cooley than some mega church pastor, because you know what, for 50 years, faithful to the Word of God. Brother Dalton, faithful to the Word of God. It is required in stewards that a man be found rich. Thankfully not. That a man be found handsome. Nope. Beautiful woman. Nope. Just faithful. May God help us to be faithful with this. May God help us to be faithful with whatever He gives us. May God help us be faithful with this, with these, because we're only stewards of them. And God's people said, amen. Heads are bowed, please, and our eyes are closed for a moment. Pastor Blalock, I'm here today, and by the grace of God, I'm saved, but I needed this reminder and this message. One of our favorite songs says, "May the Lord find us faithful." May the Lord find us faithful. Yes, faithful. I'm here today, Pastor, and I'm saved, but I needed this message, and there's something that was said or in the text that God has spoken to my heart about as a Christian, and as a testimony to that, with heads bowed, who would say that? Would you lift your hands through the building and praise God, and amen and amen. You know, if we could just walk out these doors today as Christians and be a little more faithful than when we came, wow. A little better stewards. My servant Moses, who is faithful in all of my house. Wow. To hear that, to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Servant. In a room this size, there will be some who are not saved. We'd love to pray for you. We won't come and embarrass you, but we would want to pray. Pastor Blalock, that's me. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd be in heaven, but I want to be sure. Anybody like that with heads bowed, eyes closed? Would you raise your hand? We just want to pray for you that you can know what it means to be saved. Hold it up there really high till we see it, all right? God bless you. We're going to pray and then we're going to sing in a moment a hymn of invitation. I want you to sing these words. Sing them from your heart as well as your lips. And I want you to use this altar if God has spoken to you. If it's joining the church, we had a wonderful family join last Sunday morning. Or baptism, whatever God is speaking to your heart about, obey His voice, won't you? Father, we are grateful for your word. We are grateful for your people. And we are so thankful, Father, that you have entrusted to us the glories of the mystery of the kingdom of God. You've entrusted to us your word, your will. And I ask, God, that you'll help us to be faithful in these last days, that you will find us faithful always. And so bless those who have asked for prayer, please, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.